Can you do sound check?
Sound check. We got to grab that Pikachu. Okay. We need to grab the Pikachu.
Vocal warm up.
I grab the Pikachu down by the Pika place.
Why the Pikachu? Why not whatever the kid's name is from Mother? Well, I'm answering my
Lucas.
Question.
Yeah.
Lucas. Why
yeah,
not? Why that. Not Lucas?
Yeah, I don't know. Pass that kid around.
Jesus. Oh, well, can't use this cold open. Oh my God.
I said I don't want to.
Oh,
in
yeah.
fact, we should keep it.
Be... But like the way you said it.
If I said I wanted to do that, that would have been really bad.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Now You're Playing With podcast.
Pass that podcast around.
You stop. The podcast where Brett and Weston.
It's my turn.
Weston and Brett. The good old Brett, the dynamic duo Brett and Weston.
Hey, we're back.
It's a legendary combo.
I didn't think this would happen, but your dads are still here.
Your dads are still here.
We're still going.
We're for the moment. We're sticking around. We could leave at any moment, though.
Yeah, let's see how you do with that soccer game.
Yeah, we're like
over the weekend.
Or like, are you crying too much?
Yeah. Are you,
how much harder is my life?
It's a lot of feelings, kid.
Are you gonna get me flustered?
I don't like it.
Honestly, as soon as parenting's hard, I'm out.
Keep that stuff bottled up inside.
Keep it bottled.
Save it for therapy.
That's the therapist's job, not mine.
Yeah, we're great at this.
We're great
parents.
Yeah, we're great parents. And we're also great at analyzing and talking about and discussing the Nintendo Power magazine.
In depth. With wit.
With wit and...
wry heart. Observations.
Raw enthusiasm.
Yeah, raw enthusiasm.
And we read the Nintendo Power magazines. We're currently on Volume 52. Which is September 1993.
And we kept this one for ourselves. No guests allowed.
No guests.
Because you know what?
The cover.
Yeah, that's right. I'm taking it. Super Mario All-Stars.
You motherfucker.
It's a classic.
Yeah, it's a
ours.
Classic. Yeah.
We're doing this one on our own. No one can help.
It's pretty cool game, right?
Mario is running in a very modern looking, a fairly modern looking Mario.
They get into the point where the Piranha Plant is not very modern in the artwork.
Yeah, the Piranha Plant's all wrong. But
they've kind of nailed the Mario aesthetic. He's a little more plump and.
Yeah, he's a little shorter and wider than he is now, I guess.
But it's pretty close.
He looks like a thick 27. Years old.
Yeah.
He's running from a poison mushroom, which as we all know makes you smaller and is bad for you.
Yeah. It's a cool thing. I mean, honestly, if we're talking Mario All-Stars, it's like, or if we're talking the Lost Levels or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like a cool, like, you know, in Mario, it's like the main tutorial levels, like the classic, you get the mushroom and you get bigger. It's cool. They did the opposite. Right away, they just slap you in the fucking face and they say,
like, fuck you.
It's funny, man. I'm just got a fucking power high.
It's like that old, this must be from the Newgrounds era, but, you know, people have been making their own Mario levels since well before Mario Maker.
Yeah.
Which really, you know, cut everybody loose. But just like the insidious stuff where it's like you come to a gap that there is basically, you have to be at a full sprint just to cross.
Yeah.
So you back up, get a running start, do the jump, hit an invisible question block. Die.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Just insidious, bullshit. Like,
yeah.
No, you're in my world.
And yeah, so then, yeah, the Mario Bros. Lost Levels is like the actual developers making a sequel. I was actually blown away. Like, I actually have a pretty, like, I'm a pretty big Nintendo guy, as you all know, as you know.
Yeah, it's true.
And I feel like I've got actually a big knowledge, like, gap spot for me. It's just like NES, SNES, anything that was never localized, I didn't really know about. So whenever I'd find out about that as a kid, like, holy shit, there was another Mario, Super Mario Bros., that never came out in the US. And it was like this really difficult.
Yeah, it was made for the sweats of the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, just like the sweatiest Mario players.
Yeah. And Yeah, just shit like that blew my mind. Like, that's like, I was pretty in tune with, but like, if I figured out that like there was like a sequel to Mario 64 that I never knew about, that was fucking.
Oh my God. What if they did a Majora's Mask, like, but it's Super Mario 64?
Yeah, totally.
That would have been, and like Yoshi's in it. Oh,
and
my God.
It
kind of
felt like that. It was like this kind of like mysterious.
You know, there's like an alternate, there's in the multiverse, there's an alternate world where, you know, I was hit by a car at age 8, and I'm not in that world, but you know what it is. Super Mario 64 2.
Honestly.
With Yoshi.
Would be a tough choice.
yeah. Like, yeah. Me or the buddy video or him. Wow, thanks, man.
I'm kidding.
Wow, that's dark.
I'm kidding.
There's probably a multiverse world where both I made it through the car crash.
Yeah, one of us
and
has to
also
die.
but in that one you died at age 8.
And you know what, man, I would sacrifice myself for Mario 64 too.
So you're saying you'd be okay with that
unless it's bad.
This is a really distressing
I think a human life is more important than a video game, if I'm being honest.
You notice the poison mushroom has like the stump on its flesh colored and has some veins. It's really messing me up.
Yeah,
it's messing me up also.
Yeah, that's kind of gross.
All right, well, should we?
Yeah, well, got a little negative there. Okay, so I'd like to talk about the new NES real quick.
Yes, hell yes.
So it's a new piece of hardware. They did the NES, but they made it smaller and more shaped like the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, it looks great. I always love how
and
this
cheap
looks.
As fuck, like $50. I'm pretty sure that's less money than Super Mario All Stars probably costed, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, we did some math when Mario Paint hit, I believe, with the Super Scope to try to figure out what in today's dollars. This is like a $90, $100 system.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And it comes with this controller, which is an NES controller that's more rounded, like the Super Nintendo one. People call this the dog bone.
The dog bone.
And it's pretty highly regarded. It's
the same old cord.
It's the same old cord because it's got to plug into the same stuff, and you can use your NES Advantage.
Totally.
That was really, really wet sound. I kind of want one of these.
I know. And like, so the cartridge also kind of, the system itself is also shaped like the NES, where originally you would just kind of like put the NES game into like a toaster oven and close it and turn it on.
You click it down like a 1970s VCR. It was very elaborate.
And now they rebuilt the NES where you just put it up on the top, like a tradition, like the Nintendo 64 or Super Nintendo, where it's just the cartridge kind of sticks in a hole at the top.
And supposedly this made the connectors more protected and less likely to get dusty and grimy. So you had less of the, is this NES tape going to go when I hit the button, which was a kind of constant concern with the NES.
Yeah, man,
I want one of these. They look great. I guess I could.
I didn't know this existed. Honestly, I'm pretty like out of the loop. I tend to not be. Are you a big hardware? Like, do you feel like you're like up to date with like, if, like even like the fact that there was like four PS3s at it? Like, I was playing Astro's Playroom, which is like this game that like shows you the history of them. And like all of the hardware things, I knew none of them. When you're playing that, where you're like, oh yeah, I remember that iteration of the PS3.
The intersection of hardware and software. Like, I get really, I love that stuff. I got a PS2 Slim. I knew about the PS3 stuff because I mean I waited to get a PS3, like a launch one.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm gonna sell this shit on eBay. And I probably shouldn't have I should have sold my spot in line.
Yeah.
Cause honestly, the dude, the kid who was waiting behind me was super cool and his dad was cool. And
nice.
I should have just taken a small, not all of the money he offered, because he offered like $800 for the spot.
Just for one spot?
Yeah, to get the PS3.
Huh.
For his kid. I should have been like, you know what? You've been nice. I'll do it for two. Because that's $200-$300 is about right.
Yeah.
That feels fair.
$800, that's a real...
That's a large amount of money.
Yeah.
That was... Can you tell I feel guilty that I didn't give up my spot?
Yeah.
Because I didn't even want to play that thing.
Poor dad. Well, I mean, honestly, at 800 buckaroos, I'm sure he got someone to move out.
He got a hold of a console. Like,
yeah,
he figured it out.
Yeah.
That was definitely beyond my family's means in that era. Anyways, yes, hardware. I never had this thing, but I'm weirdly fascinated by all kinds of hardware variations.
And like iterations of a console.
Yeah. So one of the reasons they did this one is the original NES was probably getting, I'm sure this information is online, but I'm not going to look it up. But one of the reasons you do something like this is it's like, I want to make my old thing that was successful cheaper to produce. So we're going to make this used to be 3 circuit boards. We're going to make it 1, and we're going to be able to produce it at a third of the cost.
Oh.
And we're going to put a new shell around it. And everyone's going to be like, this is awesome.
Oh, yeah, because like, so they often, the new iterations tend to be like sleeker looking.
Mm-hmm.
But end of the day, that makes sense. Like, that would make sense that like when the PS3 comes out with like the 5th iteration, it's like a little tiny slim piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because they like just compiled all the hardware into one little fucking piece of paper?
I can't remember the reasons for the Genesis ones. I'm sorry.
The PS.
I wanted to talk about the Genesis one. That's why I said that.
Yeah.
I can't remember like that era, because there were a bunch of Xbox 360s too. I owned an original Xbox that died, and I got another one on a cheap that made it. And then I eventually got the little small one that was before the last small one.
Yeah.
So there was like 5 Xbox 360s. And yeah, if I remember right, they just kept trying to come up with new, like, hey, man, this one's for you. It doesn't have a disk drive.
Yeah.
It has no on button. It just sits there. You know, like, the Genesis is the weird one, though. That's why I...
Does the Genesis have multiple iterations?
It has 3, and they sound different because the sound chip is different.
Whoa.
It's fucking crazy.
Okay, cool.
Because unlike, the FM chip that's inside of them... So they all function slightly. So they're like purists that are like, no, the very first one with the volume rocker on it.
Oh yeah,
is like the best one because it sounds the best.
Even like the startup music would be different, right?
It's yes.
Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, as far as I know, most other hardware iterations work more or less the same.
I wouldn't do that.
But yeah, or it's
how,
like,
how about controllers? Do you get horny for like a new controller iteration? Have you ever like gone all out and bought like the $200 like Xbox Elite?
You didn't notice on the shelf, but I do have a DualSense Edge now. I used my GameStop credit.
You perv.
To like, you know what? That thing's nice.
Yeah.
Even with its garbage battery life. Although yeah. I found out that it's hard to get the back. You know what? Don't buy $200 controllers, because I found out that the stupid DualSense Edge is a hardware software thing where you can't just make the back paddles like their own buttons. You program the controller for them to think that they're face buttons.
Yes.
And it remembers that even if you hook it up to your computer.
That's cool.
Boo.
Oh, you think that's annoying?
Why can't I use it on my computer? I can't make that like button 12 and button 13.
Oh, like you can't make that additional. Oh, because they're essentially just another. They're.
Yeah, it's just like X and circle again, you know?
Yeah. Like, oh, and you can't, there's no like workaround on that on the computer. Or there might be, but it's probably annoying.
I haven't figured it out. This goes back to your thing where it's like, why don't you just install emulators on the Steam Deck? Because it's hard. Yeah. I don't want to deal with that.
It's just work. It's a little bit of work. Building a desktop.
Man, did I tell you about the Glitch City party I went to?
Not in depth. I think you just overtaxed.
Glitch City is an indie game collective in LA, and I wanted to go hang out and check it out, and it was super fun. I met Zaliver Nelson. Hey, if you ever listen to this, man, probably not.
Hey, man, you're the best.
He wrote Hypnospace on Hypnospace Outlaw.
Oh, really?
And
that
also,
game's got great writing.
It's very funny. He's very funny. I want to
go to one of those. I bet that's such a cool group of people.
They're doing a board game night on like Tuesday.
Ooh.
I wasn't going to go, but if you want to go, I'll go with you.
I can maybe
Tuesday night.
Okay. Let me get back to you on that.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. But yeah, I was there and I got, absolutely scalded in a conversation because I was talking about the Doom map, My House, the one that just came out that everyone's freaking out about.
Yeah.
The House of Leaves inspired one. And I said, I watched a video essay and the guy's like, you didn't just load it up and play it. I felt shamed. I felt shamed.
Damn, dude.
Mailbox.
We're here at Player's Pulse. The envelopes with the art on them are back. It's super exciting.
Yeah, we're back. That's always fun. Always fun to do that.
Lots of Street Fighter guys. Weird looking Guiles is the theme, and Chun-Li looks okay. I think all the Chun-Li iterations I'm pretty happy with.
Yeah, not bad.
Guiles looking a little rough.
Guiles looking a little wild. That, hey, what are you gonna do?
What was wrong with that man's face?
Yeah, I'm always very charmed by envelope. The only problem now is like, I feel like there's something annoying about a kid who's just copying another. It's like, I care about the kids who did that first. You know, now all the kids are doing it. They're not being original.
Well, to their credit, this all looks like original art.
No, it's original art. But, you know, I felt like at first I was really charmed. Like, holy shit. Like, the imagination of a kid. They see an envelope. They see that as a canvas. And they decide to draw on it. But now it's a bunch of fucking copycats.
You mean like today? Like
at this point.
Oh, at this point in the magazine.
Yeah, because they know it. It's like, they're just... These kids aren't innovators.
Oh, and you're saying they're not innovators the art is original, but the idea of putting art on it is not original.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, maybe it's a community. We're all kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah, you are right. I'm being a little harsh here.
Hey,
I'm about to be more harsh, but...
So they had asked for suggestions again, because this is all free business research for Nintendo. There's a couple of great ones here, but the one I wanted to call out first... Somebody's like, hey, how about making remote control Super Mario Kart racers?
Yeah.
And you know what? They did.
They did it.
Like 20 years later. 25 years later.
Maybe it's that kid grown up. Maybe as a grown up, he's working for Nintendo.
Like, I'll fucking do it. Give it here.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have guessed that they would have cameras on them. And you can actually play it as if it's Mario Kart.
That was not possible in this era. Or if it was, it wouldn't be good or it'd be really expensive.
Yeah. That's cool. A real innovator there. Dude, we've got the
what?
We got Mario Gum as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
I honestly do want to be a little critical on his flavor choice. He chose Yoshi as Yoshi Mint, and there's Luigi Fruit. I feel like you should have swapped those. I feel like Yoshi should 100% be fruit because he's associated with fruit. But especially at this time era, right?
That's a good subtle observation that feels right when you say it.
And Luigi feels like mint because of like ghosts. And he's like, you know, like I picture like a breath of mint creates like a little fog and that reminds me of a ghost. And
Luigi's also a breath of fresh air when he when we see him.
Yeah,
and stuff.
There we go.
Hey.
Princess
Bubblegum, perfect.
That works. That works.
And that's also like the Adventure Time character. So
Mario Cinnamon. Sure.
Bowser Sour?
That's honestly, I'd maybe do Mario Sour and Bowser Cinnamon. Bowser should be cinnamon, right?
If you're going to do Mario, you can't make him sour. So maybe Mario should be fruit.
No, Bowser, it's got to be Yoshi, right. Dude. Bowser Cinnamon, though. I mean, we can just make a whole new flavor. Mario could just be like.
What about
Mario Mint Luigi Sour?
I'm getting confused. I don't know if I can. Let's put some post-its on a whiteboard and figure this out because
we genuinely be funny if the rest of this episode was us discussing what gum flavor the Mario character should be.
So this letter is from William Dorsch in Fresno, CA. And he says they should all be sugar-free. And isn't all gum sugar-free or is some gum?
Some gum have sugar. I don't know. I don't know a lot about gum if I'm being honest. I don't really chew a lot of gum.
The ones that have the candy shell, those are not sugar-free because the shell is sugary.
But right? You think gum itself is... The material of gum does not have sugar in it.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that a marketing thing? Is it all gum doesn't have sugar, but then some people say sugar-free because it looks good?
All right. So I have two really important gum industry questions now. I guess the American Dental Association... Here's a question on the internet that I have. Why is sugar-free gum?
is that what Google like spat out right away?
There's two major questions, which is like, if you're going to swap the flavors around, I feel like we're missing a flavor that we need to use that I'm not seeing here. Oh, is there a winter fresh?
So you're talking about two different kinds of mints, like a wintergreen mint and just a normal mint.
Yeah, because we got Yoshi Mint, Mario Cinnamon. Yeah, there's no Winter Fresh here.
Well, I mean, if we made Luigi Mint, I think having both the Mario brothers be mint flavor, it gives them kind of a
Luigi's
brotherly relationship.
Spearmint, Mario's...
Normal Mint. Yeah. Generic
winter,
nothing mint.
Winter Fresh or whatever. Yeah, Yoshi is fruit flavored. And then Bowser, we could have be cinnamon, which I think is a good call.
And then Peach would be bubblegum.
Yeah.
I think that's a much better list, I think.
Yeah, we fixed it. And some of them should have sugar in them.
Yeah, all of them do.
This next letter just says, I would like to see Ganon from A Link to the Past on tax forms.
Yeah, Eric was being a little goofball during that one.
Yeah, good work, Eric George from Dongola Il. So reading this again, it's like he just wants a little picture of Ganon on tax forms, which I think is pretty good.
I'd be okay with that. Or like a Ganon, like a help desk AI robot Ganon.
He's got a little word bubble. And he's pointing at the word bubble. He's like, don't forget to discount your yacht.
I mean, honestly, with fucking tax bullshit, having an evil Ganon be the one who's like trying to get you to pay up for the premium shit, it works.
I like how subversive it is that the IRS helping people on their taxes is like the villain from Legend of Zelda, when the real villain is Intuit and the other companies that make tax software and lobby the government to keep taxes complicated.
That's what I was figuring.
Yeah.
Was the Ganon, but
maybe Ganon should be in TurboTax.
Yeah, that's a Turbo Ganon.
When I read this, I thought he was saying he wants to see Ganon's taxes, which I think is pretty funny also.
Honestly.
Yeah, Ganon helping me with my taxes is pretty great.
Yeah. So I'm in for that. That's all fun.
Okay.
Final Fight 2.
It's here, finally. Two-player Final Fight. Here's what I have to say about Final Fight.
You actually have something to say about it?
Yeah. This is the first one where you can play as a lady character, Maki, and also the first one where you can play as a Spaniard, Carlos. The first Spaniard in video games, confirmed. This is a few years. Oh, no, I guess Vega was in Street Fighter 2. Wait, isn't he from Portugal? He's Portuguese. That's different.
I don't know.
Where's the fighting game where you have like a Mike Hagar size, like just huge hulking person, but it's a lady? I want to play that game. It's like a Brienne of Tarth. Like just.
Yeah. Is there a single example of that?
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, there's got to be.
But like, we got to get into the late 90s before like people's minds open. Yeah. Like, because Maki is like a little hot ninja girl.
Yeah, it's usually hot ninja girls. I mean, she's bulked up. She's not like. She looks like a fighter.
You know what? I take it back, because in the artwork, she is cut. She's got like thick, muscular thighs.
I mean, she would take one punch to bread, and I'm dead.
Yep, two punches to me.
You would take two punches. I'll take one, though.
Yeah, she hits me once in the arm. My arm blows up. And then the second one to the chest.
I just like Thanos disintegrate. Okay, I do have a question. Have you ever been in a fight before, like a fist fight?
No, somehow.
No.
I'm not really a fighter.
I wouldn't guess, but I was wondering if that would be like a surprise that you have.
I hit a guy with a chair once. At like a house party.
Why?
Because he deserved it.
A fold chair, like wrestling style?
Yeah, or? Like a folding metal chair, which by the way, hurts a lot, and I don't recommend doing that to people.
But he hurt a lot to him or to you?
To him.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, he was mad. He was ready to go.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd you get out of it?
The person whose house it was diffused the situation. This is an army ranger.
By hitting him with a chair?
No, he came to me. He's like, you're protected here. And then the fight was over. And I was like, cool.
Nice.
He was like, he was all up in my personal. So he was being a drunk idiot.
Yeah.
So I hit him with a chair because I was drunk also.
Hell yeah. Okay, so, cool.
So yeah, I guess like, yeah, I haven't been in a fight yet, but on a long enough timeline, I will solve a problem with violence. What about you?
Yeah, if I was immortal, I'd eventually do it. No, yeah. I mean, I assume I can't ever win a fight. So I've been very into, I've become an excellent diffuser.
I gotcha.
Although I've had people want to fight me before.
Wait, why?
Multiple times.
What'd you do?
I don't know. I was at, the first time was we were frothing. Frisbee golfing, and great. I mean, I was a pretty like loud group of friends, and like this group was talking shit to us, and then we started talking shit back. We were being pretty mean, and then the guy went up and sucker punched one of my friends, and we all scattered and called the cops. And then the other time that I made out with someone's girlfriend, I didn't know.
Hey, you know, these things happen.
Yeah.
It was an accident.
Yeah, it was an accident.
I would have said that, but secretly been like, haha.
So he didn't want to fight me, but like his buddy wanted to fight me and like pushed me into a tree. And then I scattered.
He called the cops?
I did not call the cops in that one.
I kissed a guy's girlfriend and then his friend shoved me.
I fucking should have, man. No, not really. Yeah, so those are the two. It always involves someone pushing me and then me running away as fast as I can.
I'm trying to remember. I don't know. Like now I'm at an age where it's like unlikely that a fight's going to happen.
Yeah,
unless it's like a real terrible human being or there's a really good reason.
Totally. I mean,
it's never too late to take Krav Maga.
Yeah, who knows?
So the next time somebody shoves you into a tree for making out with their girlfriend, just put a knee into their solar plexus and then just break limbs until they can't move.
I mean, I've always, like, as a very like skinny guy who will never, ever be in a fight and win. I mean, honestly, I win by running away and calling the cops.
Just choke that sucker out, man. Anybody can choke somebody out.
But yeah, I've always fantasized the idea of like secretly being like a kung fu dude and like someone attacking me and me just like slapping their arm out of the way and just like kicking in their leg.
These video games do teach you how to fight. It's important to say that. Like Final Fight will make you a better fighter.
Yeah.
All right. No, we already hit the button, so we're here.
That was all.
I'm hitting it again.
That was all part of the Super Mario All-Stars talk. Okay, we're at the final. We're at the big feature. Oh, this is you.
Super Mario All-Stars. Oh, yeah. Is this you or me?
I can't. I
did I do? Oh, you didn't.
I did
Final Fight, and I'm doing Super Mario All-Stars.
Yeah, you're doing Super Mario All-Stars.
Yeah, they so this is a really neat collection where they remade Super Mario Brothers 1 through 3, and they also threw in the Super Mario Brothers 2 from Japan that never came out here, The Lost Levels.
Boom.
And now you can get totally boned by Japanese developers being like, oh, you're too good at Mario, huh? We'll show you.
Yeah, you get to, speaking of fight, I mean, Miyamoto probably never got in a fight with someone, but this is his version of fucking demolishing someone. This is how he does it.
These gamers are too proud.
This is like Miyamoto. He's like Littlefinger in Game of Thrones. This is how he wins.
Yeah, he just sits in the back and like smiles wryly. It's like, yeah, this video game makes kids cry and scream and throw controllers.
How do you feel about these reskins? Do you feel like you would rather play the reskinned All-Star version or the original?
I was thinking, so I got to this section and my first question was, did they screw with the physics? Because Super Mario Brothers is Super Mario Brothers because of how it plays. And there's all these like subtle rules to the movement. And it turns out they tried really, really hard to get it as one-to-one as possible.
Oh, yeah.
But they did fix some of the glitches. Like, I don't think you can do minus world in this one. I know, it's bullshit.
Yeah, they should have actually, what would be cool in a remake is to make like minus world like a full world. Like,
yeah, you know, yeah, no, that's what I'm talking
grow
about.
Grow a glitch instead of destroy it.
If it were me working on that game, that's what I would have done. I would have been like,
all the budget's going into minus world.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of it's the same anyways. Who cares? Yeah. This will be a project. I'm taking it under my wing. We're going to do a cool thing.
A little pet peeve of mine in these All-Star worlds is when you go underground in the bonus areas, it's like a picture of Mario giving like a peace sign. And it kind of kills the illusion for me. I prefer it being like this mysterious, like kind of like pitch black basement that you found.
Yeah.
Having like a little Mario giving a thumbs up and being like, you're in bonus world. It just kind of kills the, like, it feels less like I'm like actually discovering something.
That's one of the weird.
Or it feels less like a real space even.
I guess after the physics, the second question I had to what you're saying is it's like, why is this not the official version? Because people still play, you know, 1980s Mario, Mario 2, Mario 3. That's where people's hearts are.
Yeah.
And so these skins are cool. I think this is, you know, if I physically bought a Super Nintendo or one of the analog FPGA hardware imitations, this is probably one of the cartridges I would own.
Yeah, totally.
Because it's got a save. It looks great. There's a bunch of great games in here. But yeah, like it's, it just doesn't feel like it's not the OG.
Yeah. My theory would be just, The one I'm going to like prefer, the art style I'm going to prefer is probably the one I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
Like I actually, for Mario Bros. 3, I actually prefer the Game Boy version, the Game Boy Advance version of it.
Oh, interesting.
And whenever I play the original NES one, I'm just like, why does my good looking game look a little extra gross? It's like
the GBA version used NES graphics though, right?
Kind of, but it was a little more polished and cleaner looking.
Interesting. Yeah, and it also crops the screen.
Yeah, in my opinion, it looked a little bit better and frankly played a little bit better. But again, I think that's just because that's the one I had as a kid. And that's where all my nostalgia is tied up to.
That's how my Mario game on GBA was Yoshi's Island. That's how I played Yoshi's Island.
Yeah, and that's like your preferred way to play. Because like, I mean, the original Mario Bros, like the graphics aren't good. Like they're iconic, but you know, it's like, yeah, it's tough to say. It's tough to say.
I like the kind of inconclusive. There is something that feels off about playing these games.
Yeah, it does. It I was trying to think about it too, like even like the Pokemon, like Fire Red and Leaf Green, like they just don't, they feel a little weird. I don't know. It's like something about like when they just try to like do this like generic kind of like upgrade the graphics.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's
like a copy of a copy. I don't know. It's like
the other thing I saw when like I looked nothing. This up, this game sold like 10 million copies. It made so much money.
It's a really cool concept. I think at the time, I mean, I don't know if this was like usual, but the idea of like packing all the Mario games with these new engines is like, it is really neat.
Mm-hmm. And it looks and sounds like Super Mario World, so it's consistent. And they did eventually do that pack in that was like Super Mario World plus All-Stars.
Yeah.
Which, oh my God. Can you, like, yeah, there's so much stuff on that one cartridge.
And I gotta say, I like Mario in his top hat. In the cover, it's like Mario with a top hat and he's got like a wand shooting magic out of it.
Oh yeah.
I like that Mario.
And there's also in that title screen, before the lights come up, you can hear everybody like talking, like it's the whole game is here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah. So there's a lot of like polish and like love put into this like remaster. So I really appreciate that.
Hell yeah. Rock and Roll Racing. You're skipping Seventh Son.
Yeah, Rock and Roll Racing. Yeah, it's like an isometric racing game that seems to have a lot of like cool vibe to it. Rock and roll stars and
it's like actual rock music. Like it's like real
plays to rock music.
It's like adaptations of real songs.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's actual like old like, hair metal songs.
Cool.
And, stuff.
And like each, I like that each race track is in a different planet. Kind of like that. It's fun.
Yeah, it's got kind of a like the comic heavy metal vibe. It's like a hard guys with like, you know, spikes on their shoulder pauldrons.
Yeah, it's fun.
I fired this up and played it, and it's all right. It doesn't run at a very high. It's like 30 frames a second, which.
Well, you're notoriously not. You're a little critical on these isometric car games.
No. I was willing to like. I didn't mind the isometric part.
Yeah.
My main thing was it's like I wish it. You know, like because Micro Machines ran at 60. Super off road runs at 60.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
It was a little underwhelming. It was fun though. I won the race.
Yeah, that's true too. It's like I feel like if you're playing this like rock and roll epic game, you kind of want it to be fast.
Yeah.
You don't want to like slow down. Like that's kind of rock and roll is fast and hard.
Yeah.
And if the speed isn't reflecting that, that's kind of a problem.
If AC/DC's music ran at 30 frames a second, it wouldn't be very good.
I want a game where you can play as AC/DC and drive a car.
Wait, you know what Revolution X is, right?
No, is that?
It's a game where it's a shooting game like Terminator 2, the arcade game, where you are working for the band Aerosmith to take down a fascist dictatorship that hates music. And you shoot CDs out of your guns
Damn,
at people.
That's sick.
So like the band Aerosmith shows up and is like, good job.
Man, now I'm thinking of Time Crisis.
Oh my God. A Time Crisis game where you shoot like six CDs at a time out of your gun. Sounds incredible.
I'm in for that.
This is why we got to go to Glitch City. We got to get that game made. All right.
Centerfold.
All right. Centerfold. Okay. So for the poster, we have a cool Mortal Kombat poster.
There's something wrong.
Yeah. What's up? You had a problem with the Mortal Kombat?
Well, I mean, this version of Mortal Kombat doesn't have any blood in it.
Yeah, blood. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're calling it competitive edition. So that's like one crime.
Yeah. Lame edition, more like.
Where's the Nestor comic?
Huh.
Because the Nestor comic should have been on page 34.
Yeah.
And the centerfold is like right after it. But in the scan that I have, it goes straight to like page 36.
Yeah, that's a good point. Normally when I'm at the poster, I'm just like, it's like a little air bubble while I'm drowning from the Nestor comic. But
I'm going to be honest.
Huh?
I didn't really miss it until the end of the magazine.
Yeah, you noticed. Okay, so there's notoriously.
Right. I noticed at the end.
I did not notice. So yeah, there's no Nestor comic in this volume because of the scan's wrong.
Yeah, so the actual magazine has a Nestor comic in it.
Yeah.
But the internet. That specific Nestor comic is not on the internet.
And on top of that,
I had to report it to Retro Mags. I was like, this scan is missing page 34.
And on top of, I didn't even notice. I had no idea. I had no idea that the Nestor Adventure was missing.
I only noticed at the end because I was like, I feel good. Wait, something's wrong.
It really, I mean, it is. It's I every time I get to Next Adventure now, I just like sigh. I like genuinely sigh, get a little bit angry, and then I like skim it and then have nothing to say about it and move on. So
this one was supposed to be a Zombies Ate My Neighbors one, which I think it had the potential to be not terrible because Nestor has nothing to pilot and crash in Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Yeah. Although, you know, I could see him as like during the football level, he's in the helicopter somehow.
Yeah, because he's like sports casting, he's like a sports the football casting game.
The helicopter guy.
I can see the football field from my helicopter.
Whoa! And he crashes it. That's the end of it.
Some joke about stinky socks. Yeah. The other funny thing is because of this missing page, I spent a lot of time looking at the table of contents, which I normally don't do when I read these volumes. Yeah. Nestor's Adventures is not classified as a comic in the table of contents. So even the people who make the magazine acknowledge that it's not a comic.
Yeah, it's it's just in the like in the garbage section.
Yeah, he'll be back next volume, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was a nice break, honestly.
Yeah, this is, honestly, I feel good. I feel light.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's the sucky part that I'm just forced to read it, and I just don't want to be reading it.
The art in the centerfold is quite good.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, I'm going to talk about the things that are nice.
The Mortal Kombat
poster looks good. Yeah, it's a cool poster. I'd hang that poster up.
You can hear the passive aggressive marketing spin over them calling it the competitive edition of Mortal Kombat, though.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're not here to watch violence pornography. You're here to play the game. Yeah. It's like, yes, Nintendo. No, sure. I want to rip people's heads off.
Yeah, it's not that
they got so smoked for doing this, and rightfully so.
I know. Yeah.
Like, come on, man, put the game out. Nobody cares. It's not real.
Yeah.
Actually, parents really did.
Parents did care.
Parents are like losing their fucking minds in the 90s.
Yeah, what was going on?
Satanic panic. It was like the just every dungeon. I never got to really play Dungeons and Dragons as a kid because it was like LARPing was satanic. We're going to go down into sewers and summon demons. It's like, no, man, it's a game. It's collaborative storytelling.
Yeah. And
I'm still a little salty about that because I would have loved it. It would have been such a cool experience. And by the way, it's not worshiping demons. It's just a game.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
But, you know, parents had it a little too easy. So they're like, we need some problems.
And, you know, I think it's sometimes like with Mortal Kombat, you know, I think it's important to explore our id a little bit. Jump in that id world. I want to see a guy get sawed in half. You know, I want to see a guy grab his hat and spin it on the floor and then pull a guy by his legs and rip him into two pieces, man.
That fatality is really disturbing. I mean, the most disturbing fatalities in the new Mortal Kombat are Strikers, because he tases a guy and then shoots them in the head and blows off part of their head by shooting them with a pistol. And it's like,
I'm in.
No,
I'm in.
They're really,
I want it.
I mean, if you want to talk modern fatalities, like sometimes they are funny, but like the stories about everybody being traumatized by looking at chopped up horse corpses on the internet is like, it's a lot.
I'm in though. I don't care. It's a video game. It's, you know, that's what you're there for. It's the id. You gotta explore. Like, that's why I watch Mr. Pickles, the TV show.
I do specifically.
Sometimes you want to like see someone's face get ripped off.
I do remember making somebody watch like a 40-minute compilation of all the Mortal Kombat 2009 fatalities. And after about 20 minutes, they were like, I can't do this anymore. And I don't blame him, because all of them back to back, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's kind of disgusting. Yeah. Some of them are pretty funny, though.
They're funny. And there's the friendship. You can get the friendality or whatever, where like, you do the opposite.
Mortal Kombat's not real.
So you do get a little queasy from those.
Well, I think something about 40 minutes of them back to back. It's just like, okay. This is a lot.
It's something, I don't know. It's like, I like things to be escalated. I don't really like half measures. I enjoy anything that goes all out. It's just my taste. Like, I will, instead of being like a little bit naughty, I want to like, you know, I want to see a guy get sawed in half. Like, I want the real deal. And
that Liu Kang fatality is so disturbing, though, because the person's being dragged by their feet and they're like trying to get away. And it's like watching the thing in Terrifier, which is just absolutely revolting.
But it's also the context of like, you know, you just fucking beat someone in a battle. And then you know, it's like teabagging in Halo. It's
yeah, I'll show them by spinning two blades and then like blending them into goo.
And like, if you're playing Mortal Kombat, that's what everyone's there for. It's a brutal group. It's a brutal group of people.
It's also like, it's not, because in the story mode, characters very rarely get fatality.
Yeah.
This is very specifically, it's writing for the player shaped hole. Like as games writers say, where it's like, this is one player getting to destroy the other character after they destroyed them. Like, take that, friend.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
And I think that's good.
Yeah. It's
as long as all parties are down for that, the party.
You got a big dog, your friends, when you beat them in video games.
Yeah.
All right. You want to take a break?
Yep.
Hey, you're listening to the Now You're Playing With Podcast, the podcast.
Damn.
This is the beer break brought to you by Howard and Nestor.
They've been sponsoring this fucking Nestor, break for years.
Yeah, rub up that beer, my friend. Here we go.
What's the worst contest you've ever won?
I've never won a contest. I think I'd
be, oh my God, really?
I don't think so.
I don't like winning contests when it's like something I don't need. It's like, oh, you want a camera tripod? And it's like, brother,
are you constantly doing contests? What the fuck?
No, I just have won a couple, man. in time. It's like,
here's
a Starbucks gift card, and it's like,
might have been like a cakewalk.
What's a cakewalk?
You like walk around in a circle and you win a cake.
What?
Yeah, you never did.
Like, I've never heard of that.
Not like musical chairs, but there's like all these like. I don't know if I'm wrong. This was like a thing that was in the Midwest and it was a long time ago, but I think you like just walk around in a circle and then you like, it's like musical chairs and but you all end up on a pad and then there's like under each one tells there's a prize.
Oh.
It's often a cake. I think.
What kind of cake are we talking? Like, is it a homemade cake?
Yeah, it's like a homemade. It's like a family fair
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does the cake have like sour cream on it or some weird Midwestern tradition?
Someone went fucking crazy. Is this an ad?
All right, let's get back to the guys.
Well, apparently I just yawn all the time and it always pisses people off. I just like, I'll be hanging out with someone and not realize it, just go just while we're hanging out.
Is this that person you're dating calling you out on this?
And Chad, and just in front, she called me out on it. And then Chad was like, yeah, Brett always fucking does that. And I got teamed up on.
I don't think you've yawned in front of me.
Huh?
Very obviously. Or at least if you did, I didn't notice.
Damn.
Yeah, but now I'll keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hey, it's the sports scene. This is another one of those newspaper formatted combined sports game sections.
Yeah.
I don't actually want to talk about any of the games on here.
But yeah.
They did something. They have little joke comics.
Yes. I was thinking about maybe talking about that as well.
I don't hate them. This, like, one is for Spudco garlic flavored mouthpiece.
Yeah, it's like fake advertisements.
Yeah,
so it's like garlic. It's like kind of like wacky package caliber jokey.
It's absolutely, yeah, like almost like Mad Magazine,
yeah,
like joke products. Because this is like a mouthpiece you wear as a boxer so you can breathe horrible breath at your opponent and stun them.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
Yeah, and the other one in here is the Baja 1000 no spill coffee mug, which is like a cast iron thing that you bolt to your dashboard in your car
so that your coffee doesn't move around.
Yeah, hell yeah. why do you think we have kind of a similar formative background, and I don't know about you, but like in grade school, this is the kind of comics that we would draw.
Yeah,
like my crowd, like Andy and me and Kyle and stuff. You just try to make each other laugh with like fake products.
Yep. I would do that. I was a kid. I would do a little fake, like I would just kind of make my own wacky packages. I don't remember what the jokes were.
It feels like this joke format, which I still think is good. I'm not dunking on it, but it is a very kind of like good beginners.
Yeah.
Like how to make a joke.
Yeah.
It's like, here's a product that's obviously dangerous or obviously bad for you.
I think I had like Laffy Taffy Duck, and it was like Taffy Duck being eaten. He was like screaming.
Oh yeah. No, that's it.
Kind of remember that one.
Andy was always really fond of, I even think he threw this out on the podcast one time. There was a cereal I made that was basically just like jacks, like the little metal, but they're like spikes. And it's like you just eat your metal spikes for breakfast and your face bleeds.
Yeah, okay, that's fun. I'm in.
Hell yeah.
That's really interesting. It's like, yeah, weirdly these like goof spoof products are like a very like, I wonder that's why like wacky packages work so much as kids, is it kind of sparks their imagination to make their own.
It's like with SNL in that era, I didn't necessarily get every joke, but if they did like Amazing Laser.
Yeah.
You know, Amazing Laser was funny to me because it's an actual laser that actually could kill somebody. And it's like Amazing Laser could be used for good or evil, but please use it for good. See, I remember that. There's all these warnings, you know, don't look directly at Amazing Laser when it's firing, you know, stuff like that.
That's fine.
Oops, I crapped my pants is another classic. I pretend that this gallon of iced tea is a gallon of your feces. It's like old person diapers. Hey, boom.
Pow.
That's what I think about sports.
Okay, so we're in classified information, which is the section where they give out passwords.
Hot tips.
The one I just really wanted, the little password or hot tip I wanted to say, is a little less of a hot tip or password or like intentional secret code. It's in Bubsy the Bobcat.
Apparently,
if you press start and select at the same time, the game just resets. And they call that the quick end code. But in general, it's like, that should not be in the fucking game. You could very easily just accidentally reset the game. That seems like a genuine problem. That seems like a real a massive bug that you can just press two buttons at the same time and the game just resets and there's no going back.
I think that's a sign that the people making the Bubsy game knew. They knew what they had and they wanted us to go play Bubsy Visits the James Turrell retrospective.
I still need to play that. Was that the Glitch City people? Or
let me look it up really quick. Arcane Kids is the indie developer and they are based in LA. Hell yeah.
Cool.
It's a collective. I don't know if they're still active though. Oh, Ben Esposito. It is that's a Glitch City guy.
No way.
Yeah. So man, there's a chance we can find if we go hang out with Glitch City more, we can actually meet the creator of Bubsy Visits the James Turrell Retrospective.
I'd fucking fanboy hard.
That's a good crowd. They're really funny. Like a bunch of weirdos.
That's where I'm comfortable. I want the comedy people who are fucking weird. I want the weird, awkward, nerdy people. Not those cool UCB people.
Take a look at that cover art right there. Bubsy's eyes are going in different directions.
That's so funny.
He's made of 12 polygons. Top tier.
Nice. That's cool.
Oh, dude, we're here at the Star Fox comic.
Yawn.
You didn't like this one?
Nah, it's fine. I'm losing my investment. I mean, the art is great, but I'm kind of getting a little less invested. I don't know. There's like,
this is definitely the one where it's clearest to me that it was supposed to end a few issues back and they just kind of kept it going.
Yeah. It's just like, nothing's really, I mean, it's like they introduced a few interesting things, but it seems like at this point that those were accidents and I was reading too into them.
I maintain there's still cool stuff in here, but I get what you're saying.
Like, yeah.
So, where we left
off. Fox is talking to his whale dad.
Yeah, just rescued him from the black hole and gave them fuel.
Yeah, so I don't know if like Fox's dad somehow got stuck in a 5D.
He's in a 5D space whale.
He's in a 5D space whale.
Five-dimensional space whale. That sounds great. When are we going to podcast from the five-dimensional space whale?
Honestly, that maybe in our 50th, maybe our like 100th. Anniversary episode, we can get inside a space whale. So yeah, and like his dad like brought him to the Andross planet. So they're at the big bad's like planet, and
it's not Venom though. They're on Fortuna, which is actually like kind of a mid
level. Yeah,
yeah. And it looks like a No Man's Sky planet.
Yeah, it looks like kind of looks like the end of what's that Dr. Seuss, where the
Lorax.
It seems like the end of the Lorax.
Yeah, where they've deforested everything.
The deforest Lorax. Yeah. Lorax field.
My dad was so upset they showed us the Lorax at school. He wrote a letter to the school.
Why was he upset about it?
Because it's it like upset my sister. And he's like, how dare you tell her about ecological destruction?
Oh, like just she wasn't ready for the cold reality of us destroying our own planet.
Yeah, whatever.
The ways of humans.
I saw it and I was like, I want to make some money destroying the world.
I mean, honestly, like what's that optimized game? It's like one of those games where like you just try to make the economy, but it's like you destroy the planet as you do it. It's like a factory game where you like.
Oh, like a clicking game?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, you just destroy it.
I don't know which one you're talking about, but like I love a good idle clicker.
Okay, that's actually not what I meant, but there is an idle clicker called Paperclip. It's like Universal Paperclip.
Oh yeah, the Paperclip one I have played.
Have you played that one?
It's incredible.
Yeah,
I love the writing.
Yeah,
theoretical paperclip, like quantum paperclip factories.
Yeah, something like that.
7 million paperclips a day.
Yeah, it's a clicker game where you just make paperclips and you end up just destroying the universe in order to make the maximum amount of paperclips.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Who's buying the paperclips?
You end up like overthrowing the government. Overthrow the government so I could like make new laws that would involve me making more paperclips.
Oh, hell yeah.
For a second.
Hey, there's a joke early on that we kind of glossed over. It's like literally in the first panel. Is it really you, father? And his dad says back, who else? Elvis? So if I was working on this comic in this era, you know, at some point they were like, can we make that joke like an also an animal reference? Like, is there like, what's the animal
else?
Name?
Skunk Elvis?
Yeah, exactly. But they just couldn't find one, could they? Because I don't think there is one. Like, yeah, what's like,
who else? Air Bud?
I don't think this might predate Air Bud, man. I think the first Air Bud might have been mid to late 90s.
Is there like a favorite famous monkey who went to space?
You can't.
My
first thought was Elvis, but elves are like a fantasy race of creatures. Yeah. They're not animals. Alphys, but that's Alf.
Yeah.
Alf. He's also a character that's,
What about Elf? Elf hiss, and it's a snake.
Yeah, see, that's the one where you can't use it because it's too... They're trying to do too much stuff.
Yeah.
So they just were like, fuck it, let's just do Elvis.
I think if you saw the snake and it was Elf Hiss. If you saw a snake that was dressed like Elvis and he was called Elf Hiss, that all adds up.
All right. So they go to Fortuna and then Andross is there looking like the bad guy from Symbionic Titan.
Yeah, okay. So like, again, like, yeah, there's... It's kind of turned into the what I would call the Zelda comic effect, where it's just kind of like going through the beats of the game. But I guess not, because I would say the one thing that was cool is they've got Slippy captive.
He's crying. He's got tears running down his face. Did you see that?
They like crucified him and he's crying.
Poor Slippy.
But Slippy goes through like a crazy badass Slippy escape sequence.
This is so unlike him in the video games, though.
It's not... The Slippy we know, but he's like, hey, can you help loosen my necklace? And the guy presses
it. Because he's got what is it called? That bandolier of spheres that like monks wear. He's got one of those.
And like apparently one of them shoots out gas and he does that. And then he starts using those like as the little pearls as grenades and just starts blowing people up. Slippy goes full badass.
Slippy is so... He's so out of character because this is not... Remember, he saves the day early on in the comic too because he's in some mud bath. Chilling and then fucking saves the day and beats the shit out of some guys.
Slippy getting kidnapped is in character.
Yeah.
Slippy escaping the kidnap.
Not in character.
Slippy being crucified in character.
Now, if Slippy had used his necklace thing to radio Fox and be like, get this guy off me.
That would have worked.
That would have been in character.
Or if he had the guy undo the bead, but then Slippy ends up sucking up all the gas himself. He actually engineered it to go the wrong way.
he totally... Totally fucks himself because he is a useless. He's not very good as a pilot. Hey, do you think he's crying before he escapes? Do you think there's tears running down his face because Andross says, so Toad, your absurd friends are here to rescue you? Do you think he's crying because he called his friends absurd?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Are they absurd? They're pretty absurd, right?
I mean, I think this whole unit, I mean, I think everyone in this universe is absurd. So maybe Slippy's realizing that his universe is complicated and confusing place.
I like how duplicitous all of the pilots are. In fact, I want to see if I had my way, if somebody's like, we're going to give you the right, you know, you have the comic rights to Star Fox. I would definitely try to do this heavy metal, like Mobius inspired comic. And all of the R-Wing pilots are going to be like really shiesty. Like really, they beat each other up. They lie. They cheat. They're like scoundrels.
Yeah.
Because it does feel like there's something appealing to that.
They set it up. I mean, they kind of set that shit up in the beginning, but they just haven't paid it off. Like, you know.
Yeah, because in the game, they're kind of simple and heroic. Like there's not a whole lot to them.
I mean, that's what is genuinely frustrating is like early on, they had all that shit. Like Fox had fucking weird anger issues.
Yeah.
Falco just beating the fuck out of people.
It is like the 90s Ninja Turtle movie where it's like,
yeah,
wow, Raphael's a real asshole in this. And like New York is really seedy. Like it's super sketchy. And yeah. they burn the Foot Clan burns down April's apartment. Like it's crazy. They put Splinter in a coma.
Did you have an April crush as a kid?
You know, I didn't.
You didn't.
That's not one of the characters from childhood media where I was like, yeah, April, yellow jumpsuit.
Yeah.
That's how I sounded when I was a kid. chain smoking guy.
That'd be cool.
Fox cries when his dad leaves him here. That didn't really track for me as a kid, but now I get it.
Yeah.
He misses his dad.
Misses his dad. Yeah, and then they fight a dragon, which, okay, for the record, spaceships versus dragons, I'm always down for that. That's
100%.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I need that more. I honestly don't get enough spaceships versus dragons in my, and I can't even like think of an example. Like, honestly, I don't know why I can't think of another example of like a spaceship versus a dragon scenario, whether it's a video game or a book or a TV show. This is it. And so
untapped opportunity.
Hats off to them.
And Game of Thrones 2 is in the future of Westeros.
Damn it for that.
Dragons again. Yeah. You know what? That sounds great.
Yeah.
The Expanse looked like it was going to be Game of Thrones-y. Like the Expanse, the sci-fi series.
I don't know what that is.
It's like solar system science fiction. So it's like just our solar system, but 100 something years in the future. Because they did a bunch of like surprising killing off character type stuff. Mm. But that kind of tapered off over time.
Yeah. They're like, people like this character.
Yeah. It's like, we're down to the last five. We can't kill them. Same thing with like Space Above and Beyond. That show from the 90s couldn't do that. They ran out of characters to kill.
Yeah, I guess you had to like start introducing new ones to replace them.
That's what Game of Thrones did.
Yeah.
It was a healthy turnover and new characters to kill.
Yeah.
So Andros is in a little monocycle thing controlling the dragon, and they blow up his little radio. And then the dragon fucking steps on him, which is, it's a really cool spread of him getting killed.
Yeah. So his whole thing is he like mind controls animals, right? That's like, has been his thing. And then he loses the control and the dragon kills him. But, and that's the end. We just see the dragon squash him. And then the Starbucks people go like, great job. And they fly away. But then it says to be continued.
It's not much of a cliffhanger, is it?
Yeah. Cause it says to be, but like, they keep ending Fox as if they killed it. Like, it almost seems like it's a joke. I would really respect it if this was a joke. Like
that would be very funny.
If every single comic ended with them killing the boss and they're like, we did it, and they fly off.
There's
and
like
the next out volume is the boss being like, I'm not dead yet.
The son turns into Fox's dad giving him a thumbs up. Great job, son.
Like genuinely would be a good gag. The problem is it's not a gag, and I don't understand why they keep doing this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so now we're on the Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back game. It's the Super Star Wars game. I believe, are there multiple Super Star Wars games? Is this how it works?
They did the original trilogy. This is like a behind the scenes thing. So it's like a bunch of pictures of like the original Millennium Falcon model.
Yeah. So it's like weirdly like this kind of mix of footage. I kind of honestly, I was at a point where I didn't fully read this section, but it does sound cool. Like it sounds like they were like talking about how they have a lot of really cool assets. So they're able to like, they were like in this game allowed to use all of the music that Lucas has already produced for them. So they were talking about how like when they made this game, they had this advantage of all, like they were given a lot of access, it sounds like, to the Star Wars property and just like stuff to use, which I think is really cool.
It's so weird how unimpressed I am by behind the scenes Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
Because I've been so, I mean, including this article, I must've read it and like looked at it in detail when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you used frames from The Empire Strikes Back to animate Darth Vader? I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't care so much, but I just didn't. Although I do want to play Super Star Wars at some point.
Give me behind the scenes of the practical monster designs for Starship Troopers.
Yeah, there we go. I'm not that interested behind the scenes. I don't know. It's just like
set pictures of the pundits in the little interstitial on Starship Troopers stomping on each other's feet, arguing about bugs.
Boom.
I want that. I don't care.
Bam.
Hoth, the snow speeder battle. Don't care. I've seen it. I've seen it so many times.
Yeah, I feel it. I'm with you.
I want to see Rob Bottin's medical reports from when he was hospitalized because he worked too hard on John Carpenter's The Thing.
What I am interested in, I'm with you on that, but
I'm
interested
how sick was he?
I like early drafts of stuff. like reading the an early draft of the Star Wars where it's different and weird. That was so fun to me, but I don't know, just something about the set stuff. I'm bored. I'm out. And that's just me. That's just how I feel.
We're in the top 20, my favorite section. All right, let's see what we got here. Oh, this top three is interesting. SNES, number three, Street Fighter II, The World Warrior. Number two is Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. Ganon getting in on those taxes. Number one is Star Fox. That was me laughing because it was so funny to call that back.
That's a good callback. I'm with you.
What else we got here?
Okay, then at the Game Boy, the top three would be Super Mario Land. Number two would be Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening. And number one would be Super Mario Land 2, the gold coins. This is a pretty... The Game Boy is kind of at that point where its top three are like all good games. Took a while.
Number four is Kirby's Dream Land.
Yeah, Tetris is number six. Okay, there we go.
Number five is Metroid 2.
Yeah, like the Game Boy...
These are okay
games.
Though
it's not the best system of all time. We're at a point where it's got a decent catalog. Honestly, what I'm ready for is the Donkey Kong game. That game's fucking good. Donkey Kong on the Game Boy?
Yeah, the one...
Surprisingly good.
It also works for the Game Boy Color, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that game's neat.
Yeah.
The Game & Watch games are cool.
Yeah. Honestly, I love the Game & Watch games. You're going to take us away with the NES. What do you got for us?
Number three, Tecmo Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Number two, Super Mario Brothers 3.
Oh, fuck.
Number one, Legend of Zelda.
All right. Okay.
Number five, Battletoads Double Dragon.
No.
Number nine, Tecmo NBA. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of my... I'm just so excited.
Number 10 is the Battletoads.
Players Poll Contest.
Okay, we're at the Players Poll Contest, and this is a nice, fun contest where...
Fun. Learning can be fun.
You can win a scholarship. A $5,000 scholarship to college would be the grand prize of this.
So what you get is nothing for 5 years. And then at the end of that, you get $5,000.
Yeah, not the most exciting win as a kid.
You do get Mario's Missing for the Super Nintendo or NES.
Which honestly
is also kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that's not the greatest game. I got to say, like, there's all this Mario stuff. It makes me want to go to school a little bit, but I don't, you know, end of the day, school's kind of boring. That's just how it is. It's okay.
We don't certainly in this era.
We don't need Mario to be there.
Yeah.
It's boring. School's boring.
The runners up get a backpack full of, like, I don't know, pens and rulers and stuff, but it's a Nintendo backpack.
The backpack's cool.
Look neat.
I like Mario in the contest. They have Mario like dressed up as in the diploma in the graduation uniform.
Yeah.
Kind of, I want that outfit in Mario Odyssey.
He's got a maroon and a teal outfit here. He's looking pretty good. They color swapped Mario instead of doing Luigi.
I would have been so pissed if I got this.
This feels like a very hand wavy, like, I don't know. Let's just get some bonds and they'll mature in 5 years. So we spend $2,000 on bonds and become five. It would be more than that. They had to put in like four.
Yeah.
But still, just like nothing for 5 years is such a funny contest to win.
And it's more of a win for the parents, honestly.
I think in hindsight, as an adult, I would have been happier to get this than the Bill and Ted phone booth.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a more useless, like...
Yeah, it's the wants of as a kid versus an adult are very different. Because honestly, like, getting that phone booth, my thought process would be like, what am I going to do with this?
It seems get
like
laid in it, apparently.
Yeah.
Who do you think that the guy who won this contest went on Reddit and was like, yeah, I won the $5,000 scholarship.
Yeah, I got laid in college so much. Yeah, well, like, do you think this was like...
I went to CalArts.
Like, I wonder what kid won this. Was this like a kid where it changed his life? And he wasn't going to go to college. Now he went to college, or she.
That'd be incredible. Honestly, that would be my favorite of all the contests if that was the case.
Or is it a kid whose parents are going to pay for it anyway, and it just
some kid
helps the parents out a little bit?
Yeah, because it's legacy admission to Yale. Yeah, I went to Yale like I was always going to and became a banker. I'm responsible for the 2008 financial crisis. It was me. Subprime mortgages were my idea. Thanks, Nintendo.
It's one of those two. Okay, I think I've
Pack Watch
for Pack Watch.
The Lawnmower Man, finally, everyone's favorite. We watched a bunch of Lawnmower Man.
We did watch the Lawnmower
Man at the Bachelor's Party.
That's a very silly movie.
That movie is incredibly stupid.
Yeah,
and it doesn't age well.
Was it a movie people liked when it came out, or was it immediately like, this is dumb?
There's this certain thanks to Jeff Gerstmann's games journalist, Jeff Gerstmann, legendary. He has a podcast where he talks about his Patreon podcast, Game Boys to Men. They talk about the 90s a lot. And they keep mentioning the guy who wrote Siberia as coming around the office of one of the magazines he was at. So it's like there's this certain era where there's a bunch of futurists who are old. So they were like 30s and 40s in the early 90s. And their perspective of technology that we find very normal and kind of even underwhelming was like so frothing at the mouth, like VR is going to be a world you could live. We're just like 90s VR where it's like seven polygons on screen. And that's what Lawnmower Man is, where it's like you look at it now and it's like, no, dude, it was a mediocre tank game simulator.
Yeah. But in their head, they were like, oh, my God, this is the future.
Yeah. It's just like it's magic. And it's like, no, it's bad VR.
I mean, VR still, I'm curious if VR is ever going to do it, if we're ever going to hit in a point where VR is like fucking sick or not.
I don't know. The little glimmers of like when it's cool are so neat.
I mean, I did Half-Life at your place here.
Yeah.
And holy shit, was that fucking awesome.
Half-Life is so fucking cool, but it's like, that's just about it as far as like really high-end game experiences.
Like even like...
It's like nice mobile games most of the time. Like there's just not a whole lot... And the other thing is like when you're playing VR, like you're alone in a room, like you're not hanging out with friends.
Yeah.
Cause the setup is so prohibitive. So I don't know, maybe in 10 years.
Yeah. Who knows?
Anyways, Lawnmower Man, 100% not representative of actual VR.
Yeah, totally. One other thing I want to do is I just noticed like a game that had Mario's title in it and I'd never played it. Mario and Wario is a game that they're advertising here that never made it to the U.S.
Yeah, it never came out, did it?
It's like a Mario. Yeah, it never got localized. It's like a Mario and Wario puzzle game.
Interesting.
So that just got, I was talking about this earlier in the podcast, but it's just, I definitely have this big gap spot of like, I've never heard of, like, I'm a pretty big Nintendo fan. There's a Mario game I've never fucking heard of.
Yeah.
Called Mario and Wario. So I
didn't even see this.
Totally. And like, you know,
it must have been really bad.
There's been, I think it was bad and just never got localized. I think it's like there's like a whole interesting thing of like this whole magazine. Like, I didn't know about the CD drive for the SNES. I feel like once we're in the Nintendo 64, I'll know all that like obscure, like fun fact stuff. But there's just, I'm constantly being surprised at how much I don't know, because I automatically assume that I know everything about Nintendo. And that's not the case. There's a game called Mario and Wario.
It just makes me think of Mario versus Donkey Kong.
I think it's that kind of style. It's like a puzzly game, too.
I wonder if that's where it went.
Huh. Maybe.
It's like when I was at GDC and I asked the guy who invented Qbert, who did the FMV shooting game afterward, the Laserdisc game. I was like, does this have any connection to like Sega CD FMV games in the 90s? And he's like, oh, no. And I was like, all right, well, thank you. So maybe it's connected. Maybe it has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, who knows?
It's in the, I wonder if it was in that Nintendo hack where they found all this, you know, like the assets and stuff.
Well, I mean, they would have, because it came out of Japan.
So, oh, did it really?
Yeah, it did.
Wait, what else did you see about it? Is it good?
I don't. I was curious because then I just saw that and then I looked up like top 10 games that never got localized and it was not on the top 10 list I read. So apparently it wasn't good enough to be in the top 10 list of things that never got localized. Which Mother 3 is number one, which I agree with, but it didn't make that list.
There's also Seiken Densetsu 3, which was quite good and well-liked.
I think
that was one of the first big translation projects.
Yeah, there's people like Sin and Punishment on the Nintendo 64, but I don't think that was on the list either.
Mother 3 is definitely, I think at this point, kind of the gold standard.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the one.
That like the Final Fantasies that didn't come out.
But they eventually did, right? Like, they eventually got localized.
If you can't tell, listener, the Pack Watch is pretty dry this month. World Heroes, the crash test dummies again.
It's always fucking
cool
dry.
Cool spot. Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's get out of here.
Let's get... We did it.
We did it. We made it to the end. Ooh. There we go. All right. Damn.
Wow.
Whoa.
You know, I thought this was going to be a good one, but I'm a little underwhelmed by this magazine.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Can't always be winners.
No, I guess they can't. hey, I had an idea.
Yeah, what's up?
Since we didn't find the Nestor comic, and it's literally not online to the point where I had to report to retro mags that the scan is incomplete.
Yeah.
I mean, I am considering eBaying, like getting an eBay copy of this magazine so that I can contribute to the Internet Archive and to retro mags with this missing page. But since we don't have the Nestor comic, should we break like this Nestor comic?
Yeah, I'm in for that.
Do you want to try to make it good or should we try to make it bad?
I mean, I think it's got to be in theme with it. So, I mean,
okay.
I mean, to be honest, I'd be down to think of like a better air vehicle plot. What's an air vehicle plot that's cool?
So, okay, you want to do Zombies Ate My Neighbors, but it's like, but Nestor's in an air vehicle that he crashes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if we're going to make it good, we still need to abide by the rules. I think a good thing needs to still abide by the rules.
Yeah. And I think the other thing we needed to find up top that'll help us build this out really quickly is Nestor going to be the annoying dipshit or is it going to be someone else? Because there's really two ways the comic goes.
Yeah. Sometimes he's like weirdly kind of cool. What happens when cool Nestor drives an air vehicle? What happens then?
So what's the most zombie-related air vehicle? I think it really is a helicopter.
So I'm picturing, I think a helicopter would be that.
Because like, was it Dawn of the Dead where the news crew visits? The original one, the 70s one. Anyways, I feel like helicopters have some connection.
I'm with you on that. So Nestor's in a helicopter. He's flying over hordes of zombies.
Yeah. Okay. Zombies Ate Your Neighbors is a game where because we've established that Nestor doesn't count as a comic. It's game tips, according to the table of contents.
Yeah.
In that game, it's a up to two player game where it's top down and you're running around these levels saving neighbors while there's kind of an endless stream of monsters coming at you.
So Nestor's like on a rescue squad saving people in his helicopter?
Yeah. What if he's ordering around the teens from the characters from Zombie Ate Your Neighbor? He's like, no, you got to go over here. So he's kind of like the player avatar. His top-down view is because he's in the helicopter.
Ooh.
So he's giving hot tips and they got
to
be
like,
the...
And he's like saying, yeah, go there. He's trying to save lives.
Oh, and they're being useless and annoying and he's being cool.
And I also want, Nestor doesn't have a leg. He's missing one leg.
Why is he missing a leg?
I don't know. It's, I don't know. Maybe find out by the end. Maybe you don't.
Maybe it's a punchline that doesn't work because it doesn't make any sense. Because that would also be something that's in the comic. Yeah, they're like, why don't you come down here? He's like, I can't. Zombies ate my leg. Get it?
Whoa, there we go.
All right.
They're getting pretty good here.
Zombies ate my leg. Get it. That's going in. That's the punchline.
I think we're there.
Yeah, so they're like at a camp at the... So the last panel is he's... parked the helicopter and they got a little campfire and everyone's hanging out and they need something to do at the camp. So I'm assuming it's, I'm pretty sure the weapons are all joke weapons and you can get like cans of soda. You throw like grenades.
Ooh.
So maybe they're all drinking some sodas around the campfire.
Like slingshot energy, like slingshot, like a bubble gum, like rope whip. I don't know.
I don't remember that, but like, yeah. Okay. Maybe the guy's like, I'm going to do a bubblegum whip. And Nestor's like, that's not a thing.
Yeah, this is pretty good.
I told you, zombies ate my leg.
He just says that every
time. Oh, he has to crash the helicopter.
Yeah. So he gets everyone there. So he's kind of got all the neighbors in the helicopter.
Does he lose the leg in a helicopter crash?
Yeah, so he starts with the leg.
Yeah, he has the leg at first and then he loses it. That's not a joke.
Yeah.
That's just like a sad thing that happened.
All right, well, we're going in a new direction with it. I don't think this version needs jokes necessarily.
All right. So Nestor is in a helicopter over the suburbs.
His margins are pretty tragic. He just tried to save people and they crashed.
Yeah. Okay. I like that a lot. And it's something they haven't done before where it's just like he's trying. So Nestor's being cool and trying to help them. And the teens are being like, no, I want soda. I want to go get bubble gum. And he's like, yeah, no, like, you have to save your neighbors.
They're fighting, being annoying. And then he goes like, turn around and like, try to like, hey, shut up. And when that happens.
And he's like, you need to get to the exit in time. Cause I'm pretty sure that's a mechanic in Zombies Ate My Neighbors. Cause you got to get out. You can stay in the levels.
He's also not confident about that though.
Yeah. He's like, I can't pick you up unless you go to the roof of the shopping mall on the next level.
Yeah.
And so they're crashed and they're stuck in the shopping mall. And he's like, well, now I guess we're doomed because we have no way of getting out of here. And they're like, yeah, but look at all the soda we got. And Nestor's like, but I lost my leg in the helicopter crash.
Damn, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
That's gripping stuff.
I think we did it.
That feels better than just about any of the comics I can remember. At least since Howard took off.
Damn.
Is there anything else we need to talk about over this outro?
No, I think that's it. I think we're done.
We promise we'll cover the actual comic in a later issue.
Yeah, we'll bring it back. We'll find it.
We could just buy it on eBay for like $20.
Bam. Although this seems like an empty. There's a chance we don't do that. I don't want to.
Maybe Retro Mags will realize their mistake and do it for me. Just reach out to whoever had the magazine.
That'd be pretty nice.
Yeah.
All right.
And if it's a bad strip, we'll just do Doonesbury.
What if it's exactly what we pitched?
I'll eat my hat, sir.
Yeah. Eat that hat.
Playing with podcast is brought to you by the Podcast Power Players Power Team. Music by Games Cameron. Find back episodes, send us emails, and do cool stuff at our website, nowyourplaying.com. That's your with an E, because we know how to do grammar. Hey, it's me, the contest where we give you a scholarship in 5 years.
Yeah, hey, I'm the winner of the scholarship. My parents were already rich.
So the money went to waste. Did you enjoy the Mario's Missing tape that we gave you?
I won, and my dad just got mad at me for some reason.
Because it was bad for your taxes.
We ended up losing money.
Low energy contest.
Yeah.